Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
Now you're very welcome back. David Conn at The Guardian is with us on the line. You're there, David?
Yeah, hi guys.
We wanted to talk about Manchester City because it's been fascinating over the last number of days. The last 7-10 days should have been a crowning week really for Manchester City, one which was the fruition of everything they've been planning for, and yet it's been tetchy and a PR battle, and even the FA Cup win was mired in tetchiness. Here's Rob Harris speaking to Pep Guardiola in the press conference after their FA Cup thumping of Watford.
There's one big question the club haven't answered, which unfortunately is the environment you are celebrating, but Roberto Mancini was discovered to have had separate payments from Abu Dhabi while he was manager.
We're not
have you
go,
ever had separate payments
we're not
from Abu
go into
Dhabi
that now,
while
Rob.
City manager?
Do you know the question as you're asking to me? Do you know the question asking me if I receive money for another situation right now today? Honestly, do you think I deserve to make this kind of question and happen, Roberto? I don't know. Did they want the travel about the I've received money for another situations?
Okay, we're running an embargo now, please.
Oh,
one
God.
Days.
If looks could kill is the point there. Interesting his choice of language there, David. He said, do you think we deserve that kind of a question? And his general tone has been suggesting Manchester City are not getting any of the credit they deserve. They're not getting what they deserve here is almost how the club is feeling right now.
Yeah, I think he was saying it wasn't a legitimate question for Rob to ask him in the press conference after winning the treble.
Yeah.
It's always been difficult to ask what might be considered proper questions in press conferences, let's say in politics or other areas. You're always expected to just ask about how great the team was, and you do understand that they had just won this historic treble, and it's a crowning achievement of Pep's managerial, career and his methods. But if we had a different culture that was more accepting of asking, just legitimate, factual questions and not taking offence at them, then I think that Pep could have answered that or should have answered that question, even in that environment at Wembley.
He is clearly very conscious of how Manchester City are being perceived and how the job he's doing is being perceived, because he went on to talk about going on the Daily Mail website on the Monday after Manchester City won the league, and to his, I was going to say to his disgust, to be fair, he didn't use that word, but he was not happy that the top story in the Daily Mail the day after Man City won the league was Paul Pogba in row with fan on the lap of appreciation at Old Trafford. And there's this sense of like, where is the credit for me? And we saw the Manchester City supporter making his way into the press box and pretty much saying the same thing. We win the league, we do this, and Mo Salah's in the front of the pages and you lot never give us any credit. And it seems to be dawning on go on, yeah.
Was Mo Salah on like the back pages at a time when City won the league, or City should have been on the back pages? I mean, for Pep to be kind of not only looking on the Daily Mail website, but actually talking about looking on the Daily Mail website and complaining about the club. I mean, it's quite a compliment to the Daily Mail website actually that Pep Guardiola, Pep Guardiola was saying, went on the Guardian website straight after our victory. And, you had a story about Orient coming up from the conference or whatever. I would take it as a compliment that they're checking it. And it just does seem extraordinary that he says it. But I also just cannot see that as justified, that Manchester City have not had huge coverage and huge praise this season for their achievements. And, the next day after that complaint, because they announced that Vincent Kompany was retiring, and then obviously he had the deal already done to go and be Anderlecht's player manager. I mean, there was absolutely wall-to-wall coverage and praise of Vincent Kompany. And we had a huge, very good interview actually with him in our Saturday magazine. And then when he announced on the day of the final, and then when he announced retirement, we had three pages of just untrammeled complete praise for Vinnie Kompany across three pages of the sport, and so did everyone else. So, you know, it is more of a feeling than reality, I think. What was interesting, though, is that they made those complaints at the cup final, and there was some, obviously, critical coverage of City in the week leading up to the cup final. And, you know, a large part of it was because the UEFA committee, what they call the club financial control body, investigatory chamber, referred this financial fair play, these allegations, to the adjudicatory chamber, which means that City, you know, have got a very serious case to answer at UEFA, and it means that that investigatory chamber wasn't convinced by the answers that they had. Mm. So they did get critical coverage before, but I thought what was interesting afterwards was actually, you know, there were reservations about what we'd all just watched expressed in the media coverage, in the papers, including in The Guardian, by our writers, more than there has been before. So when City won the first, under Abu Dhabi, under the Abu Dhabi ownership, won the first title in 2012, you know, the absolutely landmark, you know, the iconic Sergio Aguero scoring in the 94th minute against QPR at the Etihad, there was very little about Abu Dhabi and it all being about, there was some about it being, you know, obviously all about money because a lot of money had been spent, but it was treated as Manchester City, overturning their history, their modern recent history of sort of failure and relegation and, you know, cuts to the cock-ups and City-itis, and all of that was written about. And finally, they nearly blew it on the last day of the season, but finally, you know, they had this triumph. Whereas this time, I don't know whether it just dawned on everyone when they were watching the last few weeks of the season and the 6-0 victory in the FA Cup final, but, you know, this is not Manchester City that we're all really fond of 30 years now, sort of, you know, overturning that history. This is a new history that has been engineered by Abu Dhabi. And yes, I think there were more reservations expressed. It seems the realisation seemed to land in more of the media that, you know, actually, you know, what is this phenomenon? And is it good for football?
Mm. You mentioned something earlier, David, about around post-match. It's a bit more difficult maybe to ask a question post-match. During the pre-match press conferences then, usually it'd be on a Friday if the game's on a Saturday, or certainly the day before a game. Are the restrictions put in place, or have you, over the last few weeks, as journalists, been told, look, you cannot be talking to Pep Guardiola regarding this subject? Is it off-limits pre-match as well?
I don't know, Kevin. I don't go to the pre-match press conferences. To be honest, I would think that it would be possible to ask a question like that on a Friday at a pre-match press conference. But I don't really want to start, you know, kind of being seen to suggest that Rob Harris might have gone to one of those and asked a question there because... You know, he's not here to explain that, and I wouldn't want to. I think it's still legitimate to ask the question, and he wouldn't necessarily be at those pre-match press. He, in the job that he does, wouldn't necessarily be at that pre-match press conference. But, you know, it's a fair point that there may have been other opportunities to ask that question. And Pep's sort of feeling that, look, I'm on an absolute career high here. Do you have to ask me that question in this context? I think I can understand that, but I think a lot of people have said that he still could have answered the question.
Well, he could have. I mean, the reason we're talking about this is the nature of his reaction. I mean, if he had just said, am I getting paid over in Abu Dhabi as well? No. Next question. Then that very quickly, certainly we're not talking on a Tuesday. I mean, maybe it sort of makes Twitter a little bit on the Saturday evening. The FA Cup wasn't massive on my radar, I must admit at this stage, unfortunately. But it's the nature of his answer. And I think that tied in with a few things. And one of the other issues you suspect for Pep is that he probably feels he's not getting the credit, you know? So Barcelona were Barcelona. They had the best player in the world. They had some of the best players in the world around the best player in the world. Bayern Munich had won the treble, including the Champions League, the year before. He never won the Champions League with them. I suspect he thought by going to City and almost creating something that it would be maybe his most celebrated achievement. And perhaps what's dawning on him at the moment is that all that's being talked about, or you know, 90% of what's being talked about now, as the extent of City's dominance really becomes apparent, is the 1.2 billion that they have spent. And he feels, maybe rightly so, maybe he feels a bit shortchanged by that.
Yeah, but again, you know, I think that there's just been extraordinary praise for Pep
sure.
for 2 years in the media. And, you know, if there is a balancing of that with asking proper questions about the takeover of an English traditional football club by the member of the ruling family in an oil-rich Gulf state, which, you know, then, I mean, that 1.2 billion, I think, is a quoted figure for their net spend, isn't it, on transfers? But,
yeah.
But Sheikh Mansour himself has spent £1.3 billion on Manchester City. And you know, that is so, so far beyond the investment by other owners. I mean, obviously, Abramovich takes it, Roman Abramovich of Chelsea takes it a little bit close from 2003. But
yeah.
Apart from that, I mean, it's an absolutely different planet. And that is highly relevant and really important for people to think about and for people to really understand and question. And I actually think that, you know, I think it's quite late coming. I mean, Sheikh Mansour took the club over in 2008, and as I say, the 2012 Premier League title, and I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that was written in terms of, you know, this is lovable old City nearly mucking it up at the last minute. It wasn't written as, this is the start of a project here, where even by then, something like £600 million had gone in by Sheikh Mansour. And so I think it's quite late, but Pep himself is absolutely recognised. I mean, who could not recognise it? Because it's not just the spending, is it, and the extraordinary squad that he's been able to assemble with, like, you know, Kevin De Bruyne at 55 million and Leroy Sané coming on, whatever he cost, 34 million, coming on as substitutes against Watford in the cup final. But people recognise it isn't just that Pep is, you know, absolutely special as a manager and gets players to perform better than even the, you know, it gets world-class players to perform even better.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, there's a touchiness there that isn't really merited. And I think that this realisation, as I say, is quite late. But just going back to what you were asking me, Kevin, you know, when you were saying about, you know, the post-match press conference and weren't there other opportunities to ask the question, do you feel like really it wasn't the best time, you know, it wasn't an appropriate
I wasn't thinking that. It just struck me when you'd said that it is a difficult place. And I get that. It's more, because you're more analytical of the game, aren't you? You're analysing the game, you're analysing what has been, what has gone before you on that given day. So no, that wasn't the reason for questioning. It was more along the lines of that. Look, these revelations have been coming out now week on week in the last month or so. So it was more that, is there any restrictions on you journalists when you are going into the pre-match press conferences that you want to ask him a question on a certain topic, whether that be around the Champions League quarter-finals against Spurs, but when the bigger games have come about, when that's when in my head I remember when the story started to break. That was the only suggestion of that, because I certainly don't think that Rob Harris was wrong in asking the question in the first place. No, and I know that I think he did get a bit of criticism from Danny Murphy, wasn't it, when he was talking recently around it over in, I think it was on Talk Sport, wasn't it?
Yeah, having watched a few of the press conferences, there has been no issue really with asking about this situation. But as you know yourself, one, it's kind of a one question past the microphone thing, and two, generally Pep has said, well, look, I've spoken with the owners and everything's going to be fine. They've assured me it's all fine.
Yeah.
And we have to wait and see, and you have to let a due process take its place. I guess the issue on Saturday was it was quite a personalised question.
Yeah, of course.
You know, have you, like, Pep was almost talking about, have I taken monies, as if it was some kind of corruption?
Yeah, no, yes,
like, you know,
what the question was. Like,
almost, yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
And that's really how it is. So it's very unusual for a club to say, you're not allowed to ask questions about this subject, it's totally off limits, because obviously people don't take kindly to that, because it's seen as
a red flag.
Infringing your right to ask legitimate questions. But what tends to happen is exactly what happened in that press conference. So, you know, it will just be moved on from there. So Rob got his question in, and Pep, you know, gave his answer or his reaction, and then it got moved on. Mm. And I think that's the kind of thing that tends to happen. And there's just a general culture of, you know, we've got access to this to cover the football, and, you know, we'll just, you know, it's not an environment that tends to be conducive to asking proper sort of forensic questions. And, you know, that's why I think, you know, just about, you know, generally journalists are, you know, admiring of Rob Harris for, you know, doing that at Wembley at the Cup final, because it's a legitimate question to ask. And like you say, Joe, I mean, I don't know whether Pep could be cool enough to actually answer the question head on about how his salary is paid. Because the point about the question and what the allegation is isn't, like you say, whether he's taken money in some illegitimate way. It was that the leaks that Spiegel had were that Mancini was paid essentially half his salary by City in the UK, but half his salary by an Abu Dhabi entity in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And that's a question of, you know, I don't even know if that's a big issue for financial fair play, to be honest. But, you know, it doesn't look very pretty.
Yeah.
And so Rob was asking him whether that's the arrangement for Manchester City managers.
Yeah, there was no sense of, Pep, you've done something wrong. It was about the club. Just one last kind of question, I guess, which is part of the general tapestry, I suppose, of this story. It's Manchester City fans, you know, who are having, like, it's probably difficult for older Manchester City fans to even reconcile what kind of club they support anymore, or what is their identity anymore. So I think you probably have the more clued in ones looking at the ownership, and I'm including Tahsin Shinawatra in this, who was no model citizen, and Abu Dhabi as well. I think maybe the more clued in ones are kind of saying nothing, and then the more militant, you know, just kind of enthusiastic, say, supporters almost feel like Sheikh Mansour has been victimised, you know, and they're like fervently defending them. And certainly doesn't seem to be any great quotient of the City fan base that is saying, well, there are legitimate questions here about who's owning the club lately.
Yeah, I know, it's really interesting. I mean, I find it a little bit difficult to sort of have a conversation about the fans, because you're generalising about an awful lot of people, and who knows what all the people really think. And there are vocal people on Twitter, but, you know, they're still a small minority of the supporters. I mean, obviously, I've gone public about having grown up as a City fan, and, you know, I wrote a book about...
That's a no-no, that, David, you know that.
Yeah, I know, but Kevin, I couldn't keep to that code, Kevin, so there are some journalists that just end up admitting it, and I never really saw the need to... As long as your coverage is balanced, then... you know, I've never particularly seen the need to hide it. I mean, people are going to know anyway. And when it happened to, obviously, my club with Shinawatra, I wrote a lot about City as a journalist when I became a journalist. And then when it became, you know, when it started to change with the stadium being built by the council for the Commonwealth Games and then handed to City, and then with Shinawatra taking over in 2007, and obviously this takeover, which I could see was taking City onto another planet, you know, I got very involved with writing about it, and I wrote a book about it in 2012 called Richer Than God, which was about, you know, growing up as a City fan and what it felt like to be a City fan and what the club meant to you sort of growing up, and then seeing, you know, the Sheikh of the ruling family of Abu Dhabi take over the club and start to spend this huge money on it. And you know, I mean, City themselves, you know, people in the hierarchy, the Abu Dhabi hierarchy, you know, they say, you know, it's not a state project. It's Sheikh Mansour's own investment, and he does like football, and this is how they want to do it, with owning a large number of different clubs. You know, the Ferran Soriano model, they've got a club in New York, Melbourne, obviously, Uruguay, got a share in the Japanese club, and you know, to become incredibly successful and to try to do things in the right way. But I mean, to me, being sponsored by Etihad, the state airline, being sponsored by a number of other Abu Dhabi companies, and particularly being sponsored by the tourism authority, so that you're watching matches in East Manchester and on the billboard it says "Visit Abu Dhabi." To me, it clearly is, you know, a billboard for the country, and that is a phenomenon that we have never had before in this country. And it's happened to Manchester City, that sort of neighbourhood club, the Noisy Neighbours, and you know, it is a phenomenon. It's very serious. It's sort of it's got geopolitical elements to it, and I don't think they should be ignored, and I don't think that football partisanship should stop people from seriously looking at them. But then again, people love their clubs, don't they? And their clubs are really important for them personally. You know, they grow up with the clubs. They're very important parts of their family. It gets passed on through the generations. It's a big thing that people do together. And I think what I was saying before, and I was interjecting, Joe, is that I think for a lot of supporters of City, I don't think they do necessarily make that, you know, get too involved in worrying about it at all. Yeah. They see it as City that is enjoying huge success now, having, you know, suffered over the years and struggled over the years. And, you know, they went down to Wembley on Saturday and they really enjoyed their day.
Mm. Yeah. Listen, fascinating as ever, David. Thanks so much.
Pleasure, guys.
Thanks, David. Thanks.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.